Keeping this cool. Today is Operation Christmas Child Sunday. We have no other service in our church calendar anywhere near this. Amen. The joy and the excitement. The joy and the excitement that we receive from this is unparalleled and in many ways unexplainable. Unexplainable. If it weren't for us and tens of thousands of others like us, these kids would receive little or nothing for Christmas. And if it wasn't for us and Samaritan's Purse and Franklin Graham and all that organization, these children and their parents would never, ever hear that Jesus came to die for their sins, to forgive them for their sins, and to give them a place in heaven forever. They would never receive that message. So as we're participating here today, as we're looking at these kids light up as they receive these gifts, it just does something in our heart and our soul that is unexplainable, that's basic, that's real, that we can lay our hands on and recognize something great is happening here. And I'll tell you what's at the base of this. What's at the base of this is this helps us take our attention off ourselves and put our focus on someone else. This is a time of turning outward. This is a time of recognizing we are not the center of the universe. What we're doing here today requires we take the focus off ourselves and put our attention on somebody else. And it's a meaningful and it's a basic and it's important endeavor to do. And I'll tell you what else. I think it's very good that Operation Christmas Child Sunday comes on the Sunday right before Thanksgiving. You know? Giving and Thanksgiving are connected. They even sound alike, don't they? Giving and Thanksgiving. So doing this on the Sunday before Thanksgiving this Thursday is right. It's real. I think everybody ought to be doing it. I'm glad that we do it. You should be glad also. Mark Patterson wrote this. He says, if all our focus is on ourselves, everything else is out of focus. And you have to admit, we can get things out of focus in our lives pretty fast. You know, in fact, if we're not careful, we'll live our lives in kind of a constant condition of being out of focus. Life not making much sense. We clock our time, we live our days, we go through our routine, and if truth be known, things aren't making much sense. And it's because our focus is inward rather than outward. That's why this feels so real today, is because the money we spend on these little trite gifts causes us to turn ourselves outward. You know, we're not spending the money on ourselves, we're spending the money on someone else and expecting nothing in return. The time that we put in on packing these gifts and preparing these gifts and praying on these gifts forces us to turn our attention outward. And it feels right. It feels good. This is at the heart of Thanksgiving. And I want us to give some attention to that this morning. In short, Thanksgiving is a time when we focus on giving to others. And that is a right thing to do. Let me read from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Beginning in verse 10 this morning, and I'm sorry I don't have it up on the screens. You'll just have to listen. You remember when we used to do that anyway? The one who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will provide and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness as you are enriched in every way for all your generosity. That's giving. For all your giving, which produces thanksgiving to God through us. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it's also overflowing in many acts of thanksgiving to God. There you go. Through the proof of this service, they will glorify God for your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ. Why? For your generosity. Isn't that powerful? There it's connecting giving to thanksgiving. What God is saying through the Apostle Paul is your acts of turning out of yourself and focusing on somebody else, your acts of turning outward off yourself and giving to someone else is at the heart and the spirit of thanksgiving. So part of what we're experiencing here this morning, part of the joy, as unexplainable as it may be, is turning our focus outward. I spent a large part of last week, well, Monday and Tuesday and part of Wednesday, at the annual meeting of the Southern Baptists of Texas. We get together every week. Every year. This year we got together in Dallas. There were two high points to the annual meeting. One was a video that was recorded by just a few days before, in fact, the day before, and then shown to us, the assembly of the Southern Baptist leaders. One was from Frank Pomeroy, who's the pastor at First Baptist Church, Sutherland Springs, Texas. He told us as he began in this video that he was doing nonstop memorial services. In fact, he had just done his daughter's memorial service. And yet he sat down there on the stage. I'm sure it wasn't First Baptist Church where he's pastor, but he sat down on the stage and he's talking to us, and there's hardly a dry eye in the house, but he's saying to us, brothers and sisters, let me encourage you not to be bitter. Let me encourage you, we need to have a forgiving spirit. And he said, most of all, let's not let the realization that there's evil in the world prevent us or slow us down from sharing the gospel of Christ Jesus with a lost and dying world. This is the pastor of First Baptist Church, Sutherland Springs. And then he said, here during the season of Thanksgiving, he said, let me just thank all of you for opening your hearts and giving, 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 giving to our congregation. He said, you'll never know how meaningful that has been for us. Keep praying for us. And all of us were just, amen, Frank. We will certainly keep praying for you. The other high point of the convention, so far as I was concerned, was a report from our leaders in disaster relief. Our own Mike Northern's one of those. He wasn't in the video. Giving us a report on all the damage done in Houston and South Texas by Hurricane Harvey. Yeah, I mean, it's an annihilation. It is a complete ruin. People everywhere are without electricity, without water, without the basics of life, just trying as best they can to scramble to live. And the idea there was to say, thank you, Southern Baptists of Texas, for all you're doing through the cooperative program and through other avenues. Other churches doing just like us. We've gone down there through Mike and Brian and others, and we've rebuilt a house. I don't know whether you've seen the video of that or not. We've rebuilt a house that was destroyed down there. And many other churches are doing the same kinds of things. They've adopted churches. They've adopted congregations. They've adopted pastors. And they're doing so much down there to help these dear folks recover from the damage done by Hurricane Harvey. Jim Richards, the executive director of Southern Baptists of Texas, said, we as Southern Baptists have done so much to give, 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 give to all these needs. He said, we're so proud. We're so proud of Southern Baptists. But he said, never has the spirit and the attitude among Texas Baptists been as high as it is right now. You know why? We're not focused on ourselves. We're not focused on ourselves. We're focusing on others. We're giving to others. Giving and thanksgiving are connected. So a part of the process we're going through, a part of the excitement we're going through here this morning with all these gifts is we've turned our focus away from ourselves and put our focus on giving to others. We need to remember this. This is not something we just do at Thanksgiving. This is something we ought to be doing year-round. Do you agree with that? Something we ought to be doing all year-round. But there's another reason why taking the focus off ourselves is joyful and life-giving here at Thanksgiving. The Hebrew term for thankfulness is hakaret hato. It means recognizing the good. So Thanksgiving is a time of taking the focus off ourselves and focusing on all the good God has rained down on us. Thanksgiving is not only a focusing on giving to others, it's a time of focusing on giving to God. You've probably never heard of Alvin Barkley. He was vice president under President Truman. Before he was vice president, he was senator from Kentucky. He's written a book. It's entitled That Reminds Me. And in his book, he remembers how when he was seeking re-election as senator, he visited a farmer who'd always been a supporter of his in the past, and here he's running for re-election to the Senate seat, and he's gone to visit this farmer, and the farmer has said to him that he's not going to vote for him this time. He's not going to vote for Barkley. Barkley said this, and let me just rewrote. I told him, "What do you mean you're going to vote for my opponent? I visited you in the hospital after you were wounded in the war. I helped you secure your veteran benefits. I arranged for a Farm Credit Administration loan for you. I secured the construction of this paved road to your farm. And I got you disaster relief when that flood destroyed your home. I know you have to remember all those things, so how can you vote for my opponent?" And the man said, "Yeah, but what have you done for me lately?" Yeah, is there a time stamp on God's blessings that expires? You know, there's a time stamp on your milk. You ever notice that? Once you go past the time stamp on your milk, you say, "Well, I'm not drinking that." Is it true there's a time stamp on God's blessings? Once we go beyond the expiration date of God's blessings, we don't want to thank Him anymore? Is that the idea? What have you done for me lately, God? We act like it. We act like it. Or we might say, "Sure, the Lord has blessed me. I told Him thank you once. If my gratitude changes, I'll tell Him about it. But until then, I told Him thank you years ago. What do I need to do now?" You know, I think our race, our human race, is a little bit hardened in this area. I think we're not really good at thank yous. I think as a human race, we're not really good at expressing our thanks or really feeling our grace. You know what? What else does God want me to do? What else does God expect from me? Well, He hopes for a little more recognition, I guess. Would you guess, maybe? He yearns for some more heartfelt gratitude than perhaps we've given Him. He longs for us to give back to Him our fellowship, our devotion, you know, our participation in His life. We're so consumed with God participating in our lives. How often do we think about our participation in His life, in His world? Don't you think God expects us or longs for us as His kids to participate in His life and His will and His mission? Don't you think? Psalm 106, beginning in verse 1, David begins by saying, Hallelujah. That word means praise God. Hallelujah. Give thanks to the Lord, for He's good. His faithful love endures forever. Who can declare the Lord's mighty acts or proclaim all the praise due Him? That's a good question. Let me ask it again. Who can declare the Lord's mighty acts or proclaim all the praise do Him? The answer is no one. No one can proclaim all the gratitude due to God for His mighty works. No one. No one can do that. I can't do that. You can't do that. Let me tell you where I think God wants us to be in this. I think where God wants us to be in our heart, in our spirit, is something like this. God, you've blessed me and mine so richly in life. If you never did another thing, if you never bestowed on me another blessing, I already am so indebted to you for all that you've blessed me with in my life. I'm already so blessed by you. If you never did another thing, I would need to spend the rest of all eternity, daily, moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, I need to spend all eternity praising you for what you've already done in my life. Even if you never did another thing. Rick Warren is the pastor out there at Saddleback in California who wrote that book, Purpose-Driven Life, who has helped so many redirect their lives and reprioritize their lives. We went through it here in our congregation. I've never forgotten how he opens chapter 1. He opens chapter 1 with this statement. It's not about you. Can we get that in our heads? Can we get that in our heart? Can we get that in our soul to recognize here at Thanksgiving, it's not about us. It's not about us. The joy in life, the fulfillment in life is from giving to others and giving back to God. Here at Thanksgiving, surely we can lay claim to that. Amen? Now, let's pray over these gifts. Ray, are you here? Ray Garner? Come on down here, brother. Ray heads up. Ray and